To start us off, we have the perspective from our co-host tonight, the director of the Institute for Fiscal Studies, Mr. Paul Johnson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chris. Now that we're moving on to the mundane, it's time for me, I'm afraid. I'm going to do something quite mundane. I'm going to lay out some of the facts, I think, about where tax is coming from, where it might not be coming from in the future, and end up with a couple of the challenges that I think are facing government. But let me start not with tax, but with spending. So this rather bumpy red line shows spending as a fraction of national income since 1997, going all the way out to 2020, if we believe the most recent budget red book. And as you'll see, it was bumbling around at about 36% of national income, then the Labour government took it up to about 40%, and then the recession took it up to about 46% of national income, and austerity is all about getting it back down to about 37% by the end of this decade. So significantly below where it was pre-recession, about where it was at the end of the 1990s. And that's changed a lot, and it's changed a lot in real terms over that period. This is as a fraction of national income. And this is the same line for tax. That's changed barely at all over that period. It's essentially bumbled along between about 36 and 38% of national income over that whole 25-year period. You can see a small dip with the recession, a combination of the reduction in tax, a natural reduction as the recession hit, plus some policy change as VAT was cut, and you can see a small increase over the next 4 or 5 years. But actually, that picture, that overall picture of tax as a fraction of national income, there's not a lot of action over what's really quite a substantial period. And I'm going to come back to that question about the level of tax at the end. But I think it's an absolutely crucial bit of background to this discussion this evening, is that if you're looking at tax over the last 25 years, not a lot of action in the total amount. Certainly no more change than one and a bit percent of national income over that period. So that's the sort of overall role that tax has played over the last period. But what I'm going to talk about mostly is the individual bits of the tax system. This is the tax system. I won't go through all of it. This is where tax comes from. The biggest bit is income tax, just over a quarter. Then national insurance and VAT, another 18% each. So nearly two-thirds from those three big lumps of taxation. And then smaller but significant amounts for a whole range of other things. Fuel duty, other indirect taxes, corporation tax, council tax, business rates, capital taxes as a whole. So each of those is quite important, but those three are really very important. And of course those are the three where the government has an absolute commitment not to increase the main rates. So you can see immediately that policy is pretty constrained over the next 4 or 5 years, given that the main rates of VAT, and indeed I think the base for VAT, can't change, main rates of income tax can't change, main rates of national insurance can't change. So that's where taxes come from. How has that changed over that period? As you remember, that initial chart showed that total tax as a fraction of national income barely changed over a fair period. How have these shares changed over the period since just pre-recession? I've indexed everything at 100, so everything's going to appear to be equally important, but of course it isn't. Start off with indirect taxes. You can see that they became less important initially as VAT was cut, and then more important as VAT was increased, and then actually kind of going down a little bit over time, which is essentially, and I'm going to come on to this, down to a very long-term trend in traditional excise duties on tobacco, on alcohol, and particularly now on fuel, road fuel, becoming less and less important over time, less than fully made up for by the introduction of new indirect taxes, things like the climate change levy, insurance premium tax, sugar tax, and so on. So that's broadly what's happening to indirect taxes, but they are due essentially because of the increase in VAT to be a bit more important at the end of the period than they were at the beginning. You've then got property taxes and personal income tax. Let's take the black line, personal income tax. That's fallen, that fell post-recession and has continued to fall as a fraction of national income up to about 2013, and then flattened off. Combination of poor income growth and policy choices in terms of increasing the personal allowance and so on, a bit of an increase over the period. Both it and property taxes will be close to, but not quite, at their pre-recession level by the end of the decade. So difference between the beginning of the decade and the end of the decade there, not very big. Much more dramatic thing here with capital taxes. Capital taxes are very cyclical. The recession hit, you don't get much in the way of capital gains taxes and stamp duties and so on in a period when the economy's in a bad state. But again, actually, it turns out they ought in prospect to be at roughly the same level as they were by the end of the period as they were at the beginning. And then you've got the outlier, corporation taxes, which are on a downward trend over this period, about 30% lower from corporation tax at the end of the period compared with what it was just before, just as the recession hit. So the big change here is an increase in the importance of indirect tax and a significant reduction in the importance of corporate tax over this period. And just to be clear, that change in corporate tax is a change in trend. So this is taking over a much longer period. This is corporate taxes as a fraction of national income since the end of the 1970s. And the green vertical lines are telling you when recessions hit. What you can see there is that corporate tax is pretty cyclical. It goes up and down. But if you take the period from 1979 to 2008, there's not much of a discernible trend there other than the cycle, that the fraction of tax from corporation, fraction of national income taken in corporation tax at the end of that period was pretty much in line with where you might have expected it to be for much of that period. But what you see in prospect up to the end of this decade is a continually downward line there. We are finally on this downward shift that has been suggested might happen for a very long time. Now that is partly, of course, to do with reduced profitability, including in the financial services sector, but significantly to do with policy choices around the rate of corporation tax. So for the first time, actually, we are seeing what looks to me now like the beginning of a genuine non-cyclical trend in corporation tax revenues. And just to illustrate the role of banks here, this is showing the fraction of national income taken in the blue bit is corporation tax from banks, which was 0.5% of national income immediately before the recession, went down to about 0.1%. So a real collapse, about an 80% reduction in corporate tax revenue from banks as the recession hit and as bank profitability took an absolute dive. And then some of that made up not by corporation tax, but initially by the bank levy and later on by the bank surcharge on corporation tax. But still the total amount there is only about half what it was pre-recession. So a big loss in revenue from banks. And I'm now going to, as it were, compare that with something similar which has happened to North Sea oil revenues. So these two lines are showing projections of North Sea oil revenues. We're now working in pounds billion back in 2010 and 2011 when we were expecting about 10 billion. When I say we, I mean the OBR, but with Robert sitting there, I won't say that. Expecting 10 or 11 billion from North Sea oil at that time. And as each projection has come in, those numbers have come down such that we're now expecting negative amounts of tax from North Sea oil going forward. And the reason I've put that after the bank, after the corporation tax on banks, in a way, is just to illustrate that these are two sectors of the economy where the amount of revenue that we've got through the tax system has varied really very substantially with, in this case, obviously oil prices and North Sea oil production, and in the bank's case with cyclical, or what may turn out to be more than cyclical, changes in profits. These are probably the two biggest elements of the tax system where we are dependent in some sense on the very particular performance of a very particular part of the economy, and that clearly can cause problems. In North Sea oil revenue, in a sense, at 10 billion was a massive part of the total, but losing 10 billion of revenue is not a great thing to happen. This chart shows something which I think, where I think you can also draw potentially some parallels, and perhaps some very worrying parallels, perhaps not. But this is showing the fraction of income tax coming from the rich. In total, this is the fraction of income tax coming from the top 50% of income taxpayers. And you can see it hasn't changed terribly much. That's gone up from about 80% of income tax to about 90% over the period from 1979 to the present day. But the top bit of that, the sort of greeny, yellowy colour, is the fraction of income tax coming from the top 1% of income tax payers. And you can see that that has risen from about 10% of income tax to somewhat over more than a quarter of income tax over that period. And there are two things going on here. The period up to 2007-08 is essentially the top 1% becoming very much richer, and they're paying more income tax for that reason. The period since then is essentially down to policy change, which has increased the revenue from the top 1%, partly the increase in the top rate to 45%, but more importantly with the withdrawal of things like pension tax relief, the withdrawal of the personal allowance and so on. And the reason I've put this here straight after what I've said about corporation tax and North Sea oil is that this is a degree of dependence on a very small number of people, in the way that that was a degree of dependence on a very small part of the economy. And one of the things that I think we probably, I don't know about as tax policymakers, but certainly as a society, I don't think we worry enough about in terms of what's happening at that very top end, is actually how terribly dependent all of us are on the behaviour of that extremely small number of people. And that I think that has big political as well as economic consequences. Let me just say, wind up by saying a couple of things about where we are with policy and policy risk. So the what I showed you at the beginning was, again, based on the numbers in the Budget Red Book and the Office of Budget Responsibility, looking forward in terms of tax revenues, doesn't include anything that's not actually been legislated. So it doesn't include about $8 billion of additional income tax cuts, which were in the Conservative manifesto, and it's pretty clear from the behaviour of the Chancellor in the last budget that is something that they intend to introduce. So that's about $8 billion. It's maybe about $7 billion now of tax cuts on income tax promised. All of the numbers also assume that fuel duties rise in line with inflation. Well, the fact that they haven't done for 5 years, they didn't this year when petrol prices are at their lowest for about 30 years or 25 years, makes that look to me relatively unlikely, but who knows. So all of those numbers assume that fuel duty rises with inflation. And then the other, there's a kind of danger in the other direction, which is that we now have large parts of the income tax system which don't move with inflation at all. So the point at which you start to pay 45% tax is fixed at £150,000 in nominal terms, the same level it was set 6 or 7 years ago. There are 40% more of the additional rate taxpayers now than there were when it was introduced. That's partly to do with forestalling, but by no means all to do with forestalling. And those numbers will rise over time. And as that bites, that higher rate bites on more people, will there be more pressure on government to do something to move it? I don't know. Perhaps more, something affecting a lot more people is the fact that the point at which you start to lose your child benefit is fixed at a nominal £50,000 a year. We reckon the numbers losing child benefit will rise by about 50% over the next 5 years as a result of that being fixed. Again, is that going to be something that we can continue to do? And then we've got, because of the constraint, but I think partly because of the constraints the government has put on itself in terms of not raising any of the main rates of tax, we are increasingly reliant on small taxes and entirely new taxes. And indeed, we'll be getting about $7 billion from entirely new taxes by 2020, as well as increases in things like insurance premium tax and so on. And there is at least some danger that this increases complexity in the system, but we're certainly not in the 1980s period where we were getting rid of taxes. We're introducing lots and lots of additional tax. Then, of course, there's economic risk. I won't labour this point. Clearly, if the economy doesn't do very well, then we'll get a lot less than we hope in terms of tax. So let me conclude just by saying what I think the big issues and choices are for the government going forward. One is just about, as I've already alluded to, what we do about petrol taxation. That might sound like a small thing, but actually we get knocking on for $30 billion a year from fuel taxation. If we are to meet our climate change targets, that will go down to zero within about 20 years, if we are to meet our climate change targets, because if we are to meet them, we will have to be driving electric cars, and that is beginning to happen. Even if we don't, cars are genuinely becoming more fuel efficient. So in the short run, there's an issue about how to make up the gap created by failure to index. In the long run, there's a much bigger issue about how to make up that gap and how to tax driving. Are we in a new equilibrium with lower corporation tax revenues? If we are, then something else is, in order to keep us at 37, 38% of national income, something else is going to have to, over the long run, bear the brunt of the lower corporation tax revenue. As I said, I think there are issues about reliance on the very rich and how that affects not just the economics but the politics of what we're doing on tax. It worries me, this reluctance to increase the major taxes. I mean, from an economic point of view, if you wanted just to raise a bit of money quickly in a relatively unharmful way, expanding the VAT base a bit or putting a penny on the basic rate of income tax would be pretty high up your list of things you might not think are silly to do, but they're clearly not going to happen, and what we're getting is more and more complex, smaller taxes. And then actually what I think is the biggest question here, and this is going right back to my very first chart, is tax and spending at 37% of national income sustainable into the long term? We know that the cost of pensions and health will rise over time if we're to keep them at anything like their current level of quality because of the increasing at size and age of the population. To keep spending at 37% of national income will therefore require continued cuts even after 2020 and everything else that we spend on. Given the scale of cuts over this decade, is that genuinely going to be possible? Should we be having a discussion about whether we actually want to raise more than 37% of national income from tax into the long run? And if we do, then we really do need to open some of these constraints on things like the VAT base, on the rates of income tax, on the way that we tax property, and a whole range of other things that I'm certainly not going to go into now. And I think actually, in terms of long-term gaps or long-term issues, that feels to me like easily the biggest one. I've now been asked to just advertise this event, which is a little off subject, but we are having our biennial, I think that means once every 2 years, residential conference in Oxford this September, with a fantastic set of speakers there, and there are lots of leaflets including in your introductory pack, so please sign up. Thank you.